Hi, I'm Chase Bunker, but you're not here for me. You're here for my guest. He is the singer of the iconic rock group Toto. You can see Toto at the St. Augustine Amphitheater on March 2nd. Tickets on sale now. He is Joseph Williams. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing real well. I hope you're doing well, too.
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for coming on. You're about to go on this tour again. You've been obviously touring for decades now. What is the biggest adjustment you've had to make when it comes to touring now compared to when you first started?
Well, you know, it's a little bit it's more fun now, I should say, than it was back in the old days. I mean, it was new, but we were young and a little bit cocky, and now we take a little bit better care of ourselves, so it's a little bit more fun. I kind of enjoy the experience of performing the show. I'm a lot more grateful for it than I think I was in the old days. I mean, you know, at this time in life, it's really just about, you know, keeping yourself healthy and rested and all that stuff so that you can, you know, give 110% every night, which we insist on doing. You know, in the old days, you feel a little bit more bulletproof. And so you tend to just sort of, you know, go where the tide takes you. But, you know, we really pay attention, real close attention to what we're doing these days. And in that sense, it's much different.
You joined the band in the 80s. How hard was it to become a vocalist for a band that's kind of already established at that time?
Well, listen, I was so jazzed about, you know, being asked to be part of this thing. And the guys in the band were already friends of mine from long before there was a band. And yeah, I was aware that I was filling somebody else's shoes, but, you know, people were coming and going long before I even joined. I mean, the original bass player left, you know, before the big, you know, Africa Rosanna album. Mm-hmm. And then the singer left and another guy came in and then he left and then I came in and so on and so forth. And then our keyboard player left and I left, and then it became like four guys for the most part. And it's kind of always been a little bit of a ever changing kind of thing. You know, as long as the original concept was paid attention to. Part of the whole thing was just that it was a group of professional musicians. That was what the band was all about. Guys who could really play anything, write anything, that kind of stuff. And so, you know, the band, I think of it more of as a sort of a concept rather than just a particular group of guys. I mean, obviously, people, you know, the biggest hits were a certain particular group of guys, but it's always been ever changing in terms of the personnel, with the exception of the great Steve Lukather, who's been there since the very first rehearsal. So that's amazing in and of itself.
You mentioned Africa. One of the things I thought was really cool is in 2018, we saw this massive resurgence of that song after Weezer covered it. What was it like seeing a younger generation discover that song?
Well, it was surprising at first. You know, we were trying to figure out, wow, you know, this crowd is skewing a lot younger than we were used to. Of course, we were thrilled about that. And, you know, listen, we take it wherever we can get it. We feel so lucky to have had a song like Africa, you know, be performed in so many different ways and in different places and stuff to sort of keep it alive and keep new generations interested in it. It's one of those weird, you know, earworm kinds of songs that just gets in there and stays and has ended up being one of the more popular songs of all time. And so we're really fortunate to be able to go out there and play it. I mean, there are kids that don't even really know the name of the band. I heard a couple talking about what they were going to do on a particular evening, and one of the girls said, "We're going to go see the band Africa." So it's the song in a way is more popular than the actual, you know, band of itself. And so that's, you know, that's saying something. That's a pretty popular piece of music.
What did you think of the cover?
It was fun. It was great. You know, it was different, and you know, but paying nice paying homage to the original and fresh in its own way, and worked great for that band. And look, it got a whole different set of people listening to it again, and then just you know wanting to discover where the song came from once they figured out that it wasn't Weezer that wrote it.
Have you ever like heard a Toto cover and just went, "Oh wow, that's so much better than our version"?
Well, I don't know about so much better, but I've definitely heard covers where I thought, geez, man, this guy's singing circles around me. You know, I mean, there's always that. I mean, listen, one of the things we're so grateful for is that we have songs and the kind of music that younger musicians want to study and practice and do covers and that kind of thing. It's almost like a tool for a lot of these younger musicians, and that's incredibly gratifying. And we love musicians and we love great talent, and so I love hearing something that blows my mind, especially if it's a song that I wrote or co-wrote or performed. It's a treat. It just means that people were listening to the original.
Speaking of writing, you also are a film score composer, just like your father, the great John Williams. You are also the singing voice for adult Simba in The Lion King, which, by the way, blew my mind. Did not know that. What is the biggest difference between writing music for a Toto album and writing music for someone else's movie?
Well, for composing for film or for television, that kind of thing, you're a hired gun. You're working for a production. You're working for producers and directors and filmmakers, and they have their concept of what they want the musical accompaniment to be, as opposed to when you're writing for popular music for an album or that this kind of thing. You're free to sort of come up with ideas that you want to work on and discover. That's the big difference. So when you're writing for film and TV, you're doing a lot of rewriting and changing, to make happy these, directors and producers. It's not quite as free as if you're writing songs for an album, so to speak. And in that sense, it can be a lot more difficult, but also very rewarding when you finally, present something that really works and everybody in the production likes it, or it's got something about it that really helps and elevates the whatever project you're working on. That's incredibly gratifying.
Between your father and your mother, the singer and actress Barbara Ruick, I imagine your childhood was just all music all the time.
It was. I mean, I'm the third kid of three. And, my mother was singing and doing Broadway and stuff, long before she even had kids. And my father obviously was a jazz musician, and an orchestrator, piano player, and film music, since before I was born. And so when I, was brought home, it was, it, you know, music was really my first language. I don't really remember a time when that stuff wasn't going on. I don't remember a time that my father wasn't in the other room, plinking away at the piano and writing notes down on a piece of paper for this or that. That's just how I grew up. It's one of those things. I always gravitated a little bit towards what my mother did because, she was a performer on stage, and that really lit me up. I thought that was just the greatest thing in the world, and that was something I wanted to try.
As a singer, what are your vocal exercises to help get you warmed up before a show?
Well, I've had great opportunities to work with different vocal coaches and singing teachers and that kind of thing, and so I have a little package of exercises that are pretty basic but keep the muscles strong in your neck. I got a great education as to how the vocal cords work and how the whole anatomy of that area. And as long as you're taking care of it, getting as much rest as you can, trying to not speak loudly over people in certain situations, and then you just sort of very in a regimented way, just make sure you do these exercises daily. It keeps the muscles strong. And that's pretty much it. I have my own personal way of doing things, warming up my voice, like in the earlier part of the day, and then before the show. And it works. The main thing is keeping yourself healthy, doing your very best to keep yourself healthy and rested and hydrated, all the stuff people know.
Yeah, that's one of those things, like when after, like there'll be times where after a shift where my voice will just be, very rough. And I can only imagine what it's like for you just being a singer who has to like use a lot more power in your vocal cords for two hours straight. Like imagine that your voice gets strained after a show.
It can. I mean, it's athletic. It really is. And so you got to warm up the way athletes do. You have to have the form and the craft down so that you're not hurting yourself. You have to be consistent with your schedule and just, taking care of yourself, and so that you can give, 110% every time you're on that stage. It's very much like, sort of being an athlete in a weird way. Not quite as physical all the way around. But listen, my throat and my voice, that's my instrument, and that's the idea is to just keep it strong.
You can see him at the St. Augustine Amphitheater on March 2nd. Tickets on sale now. Joe, before I let you go, I want to ask you the same 10 questions I like to ask all my guests here on the show. Are you ready?
I am more than ready. Can't wait to get started. Looking forward to this one. Great venues that we're playing at. Can't wait to come there and just to, encourage everybody to come out and hang with us. You will not be disappointed.
All right, here we go. What is the most played song on your playlist?
Most played song on our oh on my playlist.
On like
Oh,
your
I
personal
see what you're
playlist.
saying. Ah ha ha ha. The most played song. Woo, that's a good question. Probably some Beatles song or another. I mean, I always sort of return back to that like a vacuum cleaner that has to go find its little plug in the wall and get rejuvenated. It's usually some kind of a Beatles song. That's where I started with in terms of like the singing I heard that meant something to me that I wanted to emulate. And obviously some of the songwriting was interesting. I mean, I love everything. I love the Stones. I loved Zeppelin. Thanks to my daughters, I've been introduced to some newer artists and stuff that I love. But when I need to just get plugged back in and get back to the roots, I usually go back to something with McCartney singing, because he was a real vocal hero for me. McCartney and Stevie Wonder.
Do you happen to have like a guilty pleasure band where you're just like, I probably shouldn't like this group, but I really do?
That's funny. A guilty pleasure band. Well, my daughter introduced me to this artist named Father John Misty, which is a very interesting name. And it's not music that I would normally be listening to, but there's something about it that's really interesting and captivating and stuff. So that's probably one of them. There are others. I'd have to really think for a minute, but there are others for sure.
Your favorite song that you just like to belt it out to, and it doesn't have to be a Toto song. Like it could be just any song. Like if this is on the radio, you just scream at the top of your lungs with singing.
Well, the first one that comes to my mind is "Oh, Darling" by the Beatles. It's just, it's just a. It's a screamer. It's a romantic. It's one of the great ballads, and then I have to throw in Africa in there because we do that every night, and it's my favorite part of the show because the audience is all right there with you, and they really, really are having a good time at that point and singing along, and that chorus is just one of the most fun things to belt out. It just really is.
Oh, I can only imagine that. I'm just trying to envision it right now, and I'm already just like excited to hear it. If you could eat one meal for a week, what is it?
Wow, probably an omelet.
Drink of choice.
Coffee.
Your favorite superhero.
Batman.
Favorite internet video.
favorite internet video. Wow. Probably anything with Siberian Huskies.
That's adorable. What are you watching right now on your streaming platforms?
Right now, I am rewatching a series called True Detective. But I look at everything. So, you know, I'm a big fan of the mayor of Kingstown, Jeremy Renner, as an acquaintance and one of my faves. There's a lot of great stuff out there right now to stream.
I need to watch Kingstown. I need to watch True Detective. They've been in my queue for a while, and they just keep pushing it back. And finally, Joseph Williams, give me your spiciest hot take. It could be about anything in life.
Spiciest hot take.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I like to eat the spiciest seaweed that I could find.
You are a brave man, not just for eating a spicy food, but also just eating seaweed in general, because that just sounds disgusting.
It sounds that way, but I've you know, ever since I sort of have traveled to Japan as many times as I have, I've found a love for foods I never thought I would be interested in.
You can see him at the St. Augustine Amphitheater on March 2nd. Tickets on sale now. Joseph Williams, thanks a lot for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.